Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We continue to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto, ninth chapter, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishvadev, text number 15. Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir vrikodara krishna strigandivam chapam surit krishna stato vipat Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir vrikodara krishna strigandivam chapam surit krishna stato vipat yatra dharma Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir vrikodara krishna strigandivam chapam surit krishna stato vipat yatra where there is Dharmasuta, the son of Dharmaraj, Raja, the king, Garapani, with his mighty club in hand, Vrikudara, Bhima, Krishna, Arjuna, Astri, carrier of the weapon, Gandivam, Gandiva, Chapam, bow, Surit, well-wisher, Krishna, Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, Tata, thereof, Vipad, reverse. Translation. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod, controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Purport. As far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped, because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was the symbol of religion. And above all of them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher. And yet, there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. There is nothing to be lamented. when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Om Agyanati Marandasya Ginnanana Salakya Chakshuru Militam Yenatasmai Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sigaro Siyutapada Kamalam Sigurun Vaisnavamscha Sirupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vidamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sivisakam Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vinnavaneswari Visabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyacha Sakripasnumivacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the good fortune of a pious person is certainly to be expected. It is to be expected that a devotee would no longer suffer the reactions of so many sinful activities, because ultimately he becomes purified from all anartas. One may consider that karmic reactions are divided in two types, prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma. In the Padma Purana, the aprarabdha karma is further defined, but before I quote the verse, I'll just translate. Prarabdha karma is karma that is already manifesting at present, in our present situation, the karma for which we're getting the fruits. Aprarabdha karma is that kind of karma which is there, but which has not yet manifested. And it says, aparapta phalam papam, kutam bijam phalam mukam, krama naiva praliyeta vishnu bhakti atatmanam. That the aparapta karma is situated within the heart in the form of kuta, or stalk, in the form of seed, bija or phalon mukam, that which is almost ready to fructify. And these are the ways that the previous karma is stored in the heart. We have no idea what is there. It can remain unmanifest for a long time, and still it may return later. Therefore, even a person who is for a long time free from a particular material desire may in due course of time again become influenced by that desire when the seed gradually fructified. In this way, in the process of pure devotional service or on the path of purification, one can become tested again and again by similar desires. It is sometimes compared to the process of making ghee from butter, which is a process by which we are boiling the butter until foam comes to the surface, and where with one of those flat spoons with the holes in it, we scoop off the foam. And it is perfectly clear. But after some time, again, foam appears. And again, we have to scoop. And again, it's perfectly clear. But again and again, foam will come. Until finally, the butter will no longer foam. And we are really dealing with ghee. And it is now pure. the impurities have been removed. So a process of purification is compared to such a process, a gradual process of purifying the heart. So therefore, the devotee is getting diminished reactions for his previous karmic reactions, and not only, so it is mentioned, does he get diminished reactions, but at the same time, these reactions are being released by the Supreme Lord personally, according to the need of the situation. So the karmic reactions may not come, even in their natural sequence. The Lord may interfere with that, and may send some reactions first, and other reactions later. In this way, everything is going on by the will of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord decides whether the devotee is to suffer a diminished reaction for such aparabdha karma, or whether it can just be written off altogether. So in this way, Lord Krishna is purifying his devotees. But when one speaks of pure devotees, one is wondering, where is the question of karma? When one is free from anarthas, when one is a devotee like the Pandavas, when one is saintly like Yudhisthira Maharaj, where is the question of karmic reaction? Still, so much suffering. So much suffering. The Pandavas being deprived of their kingdom, all the trials and tribulations they had to go through were tremendous. And one may wonder why all this is the case. Of course, there are various explanations. And here we are seeing one explanation, the explanation that simply inevitable time is at work. And that with inevitable time, it is not possible to expect good fortune, because everything is being subject to destruction in the material world. That is the whole purpose of the material world. The whole material world in totality is meant to be destroyed. So where is the question of being surprised when any of the elements in the material world are being destroyed, when everything has to go? So therefore, this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. After all, there is nothing here to stay around for very long, except the spiritual manifestations of Krishna, who is somehow or other manifesting himself in this world, in the form of his deity, in the form of his holy name, in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and even in his original, personal form, and performing his transcendental pastimes. That makes it worth it to descend to the material realm. And therefore, when Lord Krishna descends, spontaneously, so many devotees from the spiritual sky will also descend along with him, just to make sure they're not missing anything. Because there is no doubt that still the pastimes that are being performed by the Supreme Lord in the material world are special. Because within the spiritual world, Lord Krishna, although he is certainly Yasoda Nandana, certainly the son of Nanda and Yasoda, still he's not in the form of a child. There he is always in the age of Kaisora, always in the age of a blooming youth, but not a little child. Like Krishna, who is a little child, chubby and teething, and at one point his body, which has a number of lines around his belly, and of course the lotus navel, at one point that body of Krishna becomes covered by very fine soft hairs, right? And in that way he looks very attractive. What these childhood pastimes of the Supreme Lord can only be experienced here. They are unique. So there is a flavor here in Boma Vrindavan, or in this earthly Vrindavan, which is a little different, a little variety to the activities of Golok Vrindavan. Although it is a continuation of the very same transcendental pastimes that are eternally going on and are eternally different anyway, still here in this material world there is a special flavor. So, but beyond the activities of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, the paraphernalia of the Lord, the manifestations of the Lord, the words of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, there is no value to material existence. And this is really the essence. Therefore, it doesn't matter so much what position one takes in material life. Sometimes we come to burning personal questions. Should I be a grihastha? Should I be a brahmachari? Or should I live in the temple? Should I live outside the temple? Which one is better? There is no better in the material world. It's all bad. The material world, any position in the material world is that position of making the best use of a bad bargain. Therefore, there is no good position in the material world. It doesn't exist. And to break your head on where the good position can be found is illusion. The only good position is at the lotus feet of Krishna. And in whatever form you do it, it doesn't really matter. It depends what you make of it. It depends how you do it. One can be such a grihastha that everything is always dedicated to the Supreme Lord. And such a grihastha is the topmost devotee of the Lord. And one can be that in any other position of life also. One can, therefore, it was a great shock to the members of the Gaudiya Math that some householder, that some householder did much bigger than they did. That was a shock, and many just could never accept it, that Prabhupada was doing such incredible preaching. After all, he was just a grihastha from the congregation who used to give donations to the devotee and support the devotees financially, but who was not like a full-time devotee. Oh, he did get initiated at one point, but you know, they never really thought he was the same like the temple devotees. Well, they were right. He was not the same like the temple devotees. He was always different. He was greater than any of them, which in due course of time became revealed. There's no doubt that he was the greatest disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. People in general tend to look at other people. Everyone looks left, everyone looks right, and then are they taking a step? No. And on the left also, taking no step? Then I also will not take any step. They take two steps, well, I guess I got to take at least one or one and a half. I got to keep up with the average. This herd syndrome, which is there in the man, reminds us of sheep, right? And this sheep-like nature is very much part of our psychology, to go just as far as everybody else. Well, everybody else is doing it, so why can't I do it? Or everyone else is not doing it, so why would I have to do it? But no, spiritual life is an individual relationship, an individual responsibility between guru and disciple. Many are looking for super guru, after having been educated in the Western culture where an ordinary man is not sufficient, but he has to be Superman. An ordinary girl also doesn't do. She has to be Supergirl. where these role models have been common, now we are looking for super guru. I will explain it a little more. The super guru is a guru, he is so qualified. He is a devotee on the topmost platform. He's not just an ordinary Uttama Adhikari. Oh no. He is a Paramaprista Priya Sakhi, one of the intimate associates of the Supreme Lord. And that personality is an ocean of mercy, and due to his association, even those who are by nature fallen immediately feel uplifted. And in his presence, even those who have a heart of stone suddenly feel devotional sentiments. Ah, this is wonderful. It is true. There are such personalities. There are such personalities who can transform anyone to take up devotional service. But yet, it is not necessarily so that any spiritual master in the disciplic succession would have to have such miraculous qualifications. That is also not the injunction, an understanding. The basic misunderstanding is this, is that it is the guru who delivers the disciple. That is the principal misunderstanding. But in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is clearly stated in text number 45 that it's not the spiritual master who delivers the disciple, but that it is Krishna who delivers the disciple through the spiritual master. And this is our process. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidu sakala neha mahata yoga nasta parantapa. That actually this transcendental knowledge comes through a line of disciplic succession. And it begins with the Supreme Lord, Dharmam tu saksat bhagavat pranitam. It begins with Krishna originally. And through, it is Krishna who establishes the principles of devotional service. And subsequently in the parampara they are carried forward without alteration. So, one who speaks faithfully what his own spiritual master speaks, he is pure. One who follows the instructions of his spiritual master, he is pure. Then, how Krishna will empower his devotee is up to Krishna. We see that devotees are empowered in different ways. Saringa Thakur wanted to initiate and touch the dead body with his foot that came to life and became Murari Chaitanya, fearless, and even asking the tigers to chant, slapping them in the face. What can we say? The amazing transcendental personalities. Last week, I was reading about Hridai Chaitanya and how he got his name. And I thought I should save that one for Radhadesh. So, the story is this, that, of course, Gauridas Pandit, he was such a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he could not bear the separation of the Lord. So in his house, the Lord had agreed to appear in a deity form which was exactly the same as the Lord. And we may remember that that Gauridas was very satisfied with these deities, but not entirely. Because one day, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were visiting the house of Gauridas Pandit, and at that time there was a great kirtan. And Gauridas was so pleased that that day Gornitai personally were gracing his house. And so he said, "So, I am so happy, my dear lordships, that you have today personally come to my house." And they said, "But Gauridas, look." And the deities had jumped off the altar, and they were jumping in the kirtan. And when Gauridas looked, they looked exactly the same, like the originals. And it was difficult to figure out who were who. And then they said, "So, you want us to stay? Which ones do you want to stay? And which ones can go?" And Gauridas could not say, because he could not make out a difference. So anyway, two stayed. So in this way, the deities of Gauridas Pandit were very, very special. Still, he was always worried that they would go away. So one day, again, there was a huge kirtan, and this day, again, the deities came of the altar and joined in the kirtan. So Gauridas got very worried. You know, he didn't like it at all this jumping off the altar. He was thinking, today they jump off the altar and tomorrow they jump out of the door. So no question, right? It has to stop. So he went to get a stick and he chased the deities and wanted them to go back on the altar. So in great fear, they ran away. And there was a disciple of Gauridas present there, and his name was Chaitanya Das. So Chaitanya Das was there, and then he was also absorbed in the kirtan. And when when they saw Gauridas coming with a huge stick, out of fear they ran away and they jumped into the heart of Chaitanya Das, who from that day on became Hridaya Chaitanya Das. Right? So that is actually how he got his name, Hridaya Chaitanya. And he became... And they remained there. They remained there in his heart. So from that day on, Hridaya Chaitanya was a transformed personality. From that day on, he was experiencing the greatest transcendental ecstasies. And everyone could see, he has the Lord in his heart. There is no doubt about it. And in this way, he was becoming a lighting example of devotional service. So there is no limit to how much the Lord can empower His devotees when His devotees remain faithful, and such things may come. But one should not think that still that Chaitanya Das, before he became Hridaya Chaitanya Das, was not a qualified devotee who was not able to deliver the transcendental conclusions. He was. Because he was completely pure. He had no ulterior motive. The definition of a pure devotee means that one has no other motive than to serve Krishna. That is the definition that Srila Prabhupada is giving. It does not consider the level a devotee is on. Therefore, pure devotee may apply to devotees at various levels in Krishna consciousness. But one who is at that pure level very quickly will attain pure love of God. There's no doubt about it. So, a spiritual master who is faithfully following the previous spiritual masters, who is always following the prescribed duties of spiritual life, who's controlling the actions of the senses, vahacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasta vegam, etan vegam, yuvisa heta dhira, sarvamapimam prithivim sasishyat, who's controlling his words, the actions of the mind, the actions of anger, tongue, belly, genitals, such a person is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So that is done by many, many sincere devotees who are very dedicated. And whether they are beyond the platform of a sadhaka or a devotee who is strictly following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, and whether they are already parisat devotees, devotees who know their spiritual body or not, that doesn't matter. Either sadhaka or either parisat, both can act on the platform of a spiritual master. One of the archayas pointed out that there are three types of spiritual master. One has both feet in the spiritual sky. He's the Nitya Siddha. Another one has one foot in the spiritual sky and one in the material sky. He is the Sadhana Siddha. He perfectly performed his spiritual activities. Although once he was a conditioned soul, he has now become elevated to the platform of Siddha. And the third category of spiritual master is he who has both feet in the material world, but both of his eyes fixed on the spiritual sky. He is the sadhaka. He is that devotee who is fully dedicated to the process that is handed down in parampara and never deviates from it. And even if his mind and senses would present material options for enjoyment, he has no interest. He will renounce immediately. And that is his purity, and that is his qualification to become the instrument of Krishna. He becomes the instrument of Krishna because there is no more obstruction. There is no more false ego which blocks the mercy of Krishna. Anyone can become the instrument of Krishna. And as we have experienced in the Sankirtan movement, we do become the instrument of Krishna at times. Even I remember one particular occasion, one marathon also. It was late at night, and a cinema was just emptying out. And we stood in front of this cinema, and suddenly the Shakti was flowing, and I just stopped everyone, and a huge box of books out. Every person took a book, and I could do anything at that moment. Hey, where are you going? Come back. You didn't get a book yet. Oh, yes. And they come back. And everyone took everyone. And I had wings, but they were not my wings. Temporarily, I was provided with some spiritual wings which had nothing to do with me. Temporarily, Krishna was working through me. It was not me who was doing this. Prabhupada took it the same way. Sometimes they ask Srila Prabhupada, so how is it that you always give such incredible lectures? How can you every time speak so deep and to the point and so simple and make complicated matters so simple and just speak so forceful, so pure? How can you do it? Are you sometimes thinking and meditating on what you will speak on? Are you preparing for the lectures? Are you analyzing the verses? Are you cutting them in pieces? Are you deciding how you will speak? And Prabhupada said, No. I just sit and I just speak. He said, actually, I am not speaking. I am the microphone. Krishna is speaking. I am only the microphone, Prabhupada said. Krishna is speaking. So, in this way, the devotees become the instruments of the Supreme Lord. And although externally everything looks like there is that they are going through the same ordeal as everyone else, there is good fortune, bad fortune, profit and loss, there is death in the family, there is birth in the family, there are problems with all these things. Nothing goes smooth. Parikshit almost burnt at the time of birth, nearly escaped. All these trials and tribulations are following the pure devotees of the Lord, and it looks as if nothing has changed. And when we look upon our own lives, then we also, so many misfortunes are there in the lives of devotees. It goes on. Things are stolen, things are broken, diseases are come, death comes, accidents come, good luck comes, bad luck comes. So many things happen. Saw recently on my travels, one 7-year-old daughter, a nice daughter, got a heart attack, 7 years old. And the mother just said, I can't accept it, I know, but I'm still angry with Krishna. What can you say? You can understand. Yes. I don't think Krishna minds that she was still angry. After all, I think he appreciates her devotion to her devotee child. Anyhow, so devotees are not spared at all. In fact, sometimes it is made more serious. Yasyaham anugrinami taddanam harije sanai. Sometimes it is even increased, the difficulty for a devotee. Because sometimes a devotee, due to his previous karma, would have to have stayed within the material worlds and suffered karmic reactions, intense ones, for millions of lifetimes, if not more. And when Krishna sees this devotee is making a special endeavor, then Krishna may decide to burn it all up in one lifetime. And then he will give so many trials and tribulations to this devotee. So therefore we should welcome difficulty. We should see, Krishna has favored me. He has favored me. When some serious calamity comes upon us, then we should see, oh, Krishna is giving me personal attention. Just see how fortunate I am. He is very quickly purifying me now. I am lucky. I am very fortunate. So in this way, a devotee will never see any misfortune, because he everywhere sees the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, he is pleased. We see how the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are acting so in that transcendental way. When Sivananda Sen was kicked by Lord Nityananda, he was in ecstasy. I have been touched by the lotus foot of the Lord. His cousin, or son-in-law, whoever it was very upset, was very angry. But Sivananda Sen thought, you fool, don't you understand? I have been blessed by the Lord. Not an ordinary person could not so easily recognize that. But one with transcendental vision can see that any action of the Supreme Lord is favorable. And he sees that everything that happens is arranged by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is no misfortune in the life of a devotee. And therefore, it is truly so that devotional service is all auspicious. Because it is moksha laguta krit. It is delivering us from all the material entanglement very, very quickly. And therefore, as we are becoming purified, and as we are making our sacrifice, it becomes Sri Krishna Akarsan. And Sri Krishna Akarsan means it will attract Krishna, without a doubt. And when Krishna becomes attracted, we see what happened in the Ras Lila. The Lord was dancing with the gopis, but then at one point the gopis, for one moment, were not just relishing the dancing, but for one moment contemplated on, imagine the pious activities we must have performed in our previous lives, that we have this good fortune. And a little pride manifested, and immediately the Lord had disappeared. And when the gopis were looking for him, they couldn't find him anywhere, but followed his footprints. And finally they saw two footprints, and they could understand that the Lord had left together with Srimati Radharani. And we know that she was saying, oh, I am getting tired. You know, I don't think I can walk anymore. You'll have to carry me. And he carried her for a while, but then he also disappeared from her. And in this way, the Lord was hiding. And everywhere the gopis were looking and looking. And even in the course of looking for the Lord, for Lord Krishna, they saw Narayan in his four-armed form. And they said, my dear Lord Narayan, please accept our most humble obeisances, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have you seen Krishna? And they were looking for Krishna everywhere, but they could not find. But when Radharani came before that four-armed form of the Lord, Lord Narayana, Krishna could not hide any longer. He had to again take his original form. So Sri Krishna Akarsani means that Krishna cannot hide himself. He must appear before his devotee. He will be attracted before his devotee. He will become visible before his devotee. Our our Supreme Lord. As we are praying, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. My dear Lord, please be visible to me. This is ultimately the natural desire of every living entity. And this is the great cause of doubt in the heart of the conditioned soul, that he cannot see Krishna. So much I have sacrificed for you, my Lord. And where are you? Where are you? That feeling sometimes appears. And at times of trial and tribulation, that doubt may come. My Lord, where are you? And we may consider, is it all true? Is it all true? But one who takes this trial and tribulation as the direct hand of the Lord will very soon see his face and his transcendental lotus feet and his entire spiritual form, and his eyes will be fully satisfied. Okay, I thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Brian.
So, you said that we should see everything as arrangement of Krishna, and even we should welcome troubles as a nurse of Krishna. So, how far we can use our intelligence to counteract it?
It doesn't mean that we see all the troubles as the mercy of Krishna, and therefore we say, how nice are these troubles? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then we just stand there, send us more, while quoting the verse, Vipada santuta saswat tatra tatra jagat guru kunti devi, my Lord, send me more trouble. Right? Because then we can remember you. Ah, yes. No. When trouble comes, we should take it that now Krishna wants us to do something. He's calling us. It is that Krishna is saying, get up and do a miracle. I know what I'm sending you now is impossible, impossible to overcome. But if you try, I will help you and you can do it. Let's see what you will do. So it's a challenge of Krishna. Krishna's saying, come on, show me what you can do. It's like bouncing a ball at us and say, okay, throw it. Right? See how you can throw. Right? It's a challenge. It's a coward boy after all. He's challenging his friends. So in this way, we take these difficulties as a challenge from Krishna. Not just, oh Krishna, thank you for cutting off my leg. Right? How kind of you. So merciful. And now I'll just sit. Right? Krishna must want me to sit. No? Right? We saw a great devotee in our movement was Raghava Pandit. And he always had a trouble with his leg because he had polio when he was a child. So one leg was weak. But he never was deterred by that because he would preach everywhere. And it was really him who is the founder of the Namahata program in Bengal. Yes, the inspirator of it was certainly Bhaktivinod Thakur, and then His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami, who embraced this program very much and called for it. But it was Raghava Pandit who, on his bad leg, went from village to village and convinced the villagers to take it. So he was such a great preacher and traveled with difficulty. Then that day came, or that night came. It was a dark moon night. There was no light. That's when 30 dacoits came to the temple in Mayapur and thought they would steal the deities, because they thought these original deities, Govinda Madhava, that were made of brass, but were polished so nicely by the pujaris, they thought it was gold. Gold, you know. So they came to steal the golden deities. Not just quietly, but 30 with bombs, and they attacked. And the devotees, they fought. And Raghava Pandit also fought. And at one point, he was protecting the deities with a spear. They threw a bomb at him, and that was his leg. His leg was blown off by the bomb. He was taken to the hospital. His leg was taken off, amputated. 3 days later, he was back home, and he was chanting again. And a few months later, he took the sannyas ashram and became Bhakti Raghav Maharaj. And he continued preaching like anything. Even on his crutches, he went up to Tirupati, which is way on a hill, and he went on his crutches up on the steps. So determined. So such devotees are there, and we should see that they are the ones that understand this principle of how to embrace difficulties as the mercy of the Lord, and to just take it as a challenge to go on in spite of the difficulty. And in this way, they become glorious, not only in our eyes, but also in the eyes of Krishna. And therefore, they become empowered. Krishna will, from within their heart, give them great transcendental realizations. So we follow in the footsteps of such devotees and take the dust on our head. Any other question? Stoka Krishna.
The spiritual master is an example. The spiritual master, that word I'm missing. Something to
representative.
Yes.
So we should worship the spiritual master as good as God.
Yes.
But sometimes we hear also that it's not necessary to worship. So remember the spiritual master. Can you comment on
that? So we hear that the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, and therefore as good as Krishna, as good as God. But sometimes we hear that that is also not necessary, depending on the qualification of the spiritual master. Huh?
If the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna,
yes,
then when the spiritual master is present, you should worship the spiritual master as Krishna.
As Krishna. I see, that's the theme. I understand. Okay, so there are two points that I'm making because I first understood the question in a different way. I first understood the question that it means that some people say, well, you don't really have to worship the spiritual master like that because he's not really on the topmost platform, right? That is also wrong. Saksat, that is not shastric. That is a symptom of kamala sraddha, of weak faith in the scripture. That is a symptom of kanista, of neophyte devotee. One who has firm faith will follow the scripture. Saksat daridvene samasta saste uktastata bhavata eva sadbi, etc. So he is as good as God. Now it comes to worshipping the spiritual master. The scriptural injunction is that there is no limit to how much the disciple can offer to the spiritual master. That is there. On the other hand, there may be a limit to how much the spiritual master should accept according to his position of advancement. One must be careful with accepting worship, because it's not easy. It is not easy. And one who is a sincere sadhaka, who is very strictly following all the rules and regulations, and even in the face of material desire, ignoring such material desire, and faithfully serving Krishna, should be careful. Because why would he unnecessarily increase the temptations that he has to conquer? Specifically in worship, two things are the most dangerous: kamini and kanchini, women and money. Therefore, the ladies, they should be careful. They should not burden their spiritual master by demanding too much direct association, intimate association. Although I know it is very austere, and that it is oftentimes felt by a disciple that he needs that little moment, intimate moment with the door closed, you know, like, or just with two or three devotees and just something very personal. Actually, the entire process is very personal. And what is spoken in the Bhagavatam class is also completely personal and in itself sufficient. It is not so much required, all these intimate little moments. It is often sentiment. It is not actually the requirement. But if we look too much for this direct little seva, this direct little association, especially when ladies come so close to sannyasis in the process of their worship, that may be the cause of too much temptation for one who is a sadhaka. Therefore, one must be careful. And one must see how one really serves the spiritual master. One must assist him in his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. So that is one, kamini, women. And the other one is wealth, kanchini, gold, right, money. Money is also very dangerous. So if one in this worship accepts money, then one must make sure that one immediately spends it for Krishna and not holds on to the money, because money can easily corrupt. These are the two greatest dangers. And then worship is dangerous, because so much worship can makes a person very important. At that point, the slightest little thing becomes important, just like the example of the king. The king has cut himself. The king has cut himself. The king. Three drops of blood, that was all that came. But it was the king. The blood of the king has been spilled. Right? It's a big thing. So if a king is surrounded by servants like that, then it is difficult not to think himself that when he cuts himself, that it is a very important thing. Therefore, a devotee must be very careful in receiving worship. And to receive unlimited worship as good as God is the prerogative of the Uttama Adhikaris. That is specifically their business, of the Paramahansas. And Srila Prabhupada was displaying that mode and was receiving worship and was sometimes being picked up by a Rolls Royce and criticized for it by the press and said, "Why? They're just picking me up with an ordinary Rolls Royce. Whereas I should be picked up by a golden Rolls Royce. Even that wouldn't be good enough. I'm the representative of the Supreme Lord." And also the mother of one of the devotees came and said, Do you realize that these boys are worshipping you?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is the standard. And I am worshipping my spiritual master in the same way. And he's worshipping his. And that is our process to go back to Godhead." So this worship is very much part of our process. It must be there. We must not take it out. But we must worship according to the mood of the spiritual master. The spiritual master himself will indicate how he wants to be worshipped. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to accept a mattress. He did not want from Jagadananda Pandit or scented oil. "This is not for me. Right? I'm a sannyasi. I want to accept offerings according to my position." So one must understand, if one wants to worship the spiritual master, how to worship the spiritual master. And he will indicate how to do that. So according to his direction, one can worship. So those are some elaborations on that point, that indeed the spiritual master must be worshipped and may be worshipped as good as God without any limits. Okay, I think I've come to the time limit now. And I thank you very much. We will again get brunch at 11 a.m. and assemble at 12 noon, no later, to leave So that means 12 on the parking lot, not 12 somewhere else. So 11:45 start getting ready for the Harinam, so that we will not be too late. And because a good start of a Maha Harinam makes all the difference. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.